Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 35 of Real Talk, Girl Talk. Today, I'm interviewing my friend, holistic health coach, Jamie Forward. Jamie is the perfect example of a badass woman who has allowed her intuition to guide her straight into a career that she is truly meant to be in. A natural motivator and educator, she has approached the health and wellness industry with authenticity and an ability to make everyone she works with look and feel amazing. Today, we're getting real about mental health, Instagram and societal pressures, and how to embrace the journey. I am here with the lovely Jamie Forward today. Jamie, it is so amazing to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. You know, I'm so excited, and this is actually the first podcast that I've ever done.
So I love it.
Thrilled for it to be with you, obviously.
I love it. I'm popping a lot of people's podcast cherries in the last couple of weeks. I really am. I'm taking everyone's virginity and I feel really good about it. All right. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, what do you do? Where are you from? What's the deal?
Yeah. I feel like it's such a loaded question right now, but I am a holistic health coach and I focus on women's health. And I've actually really been reinventing and fine-tuning my brand and getting clear on that the past year, which feels really good. So I help women empower themselves around the world of wellness, which is such a vague question, right? But I help them discover the best versions of themselves and feel great and confident in their minds and bodies through nutrition, movement, and mentality.
Yeah, we actually are pretty much on the same page in terms of what our general mission, I think, is in terms of getting people confident and making people really like the best versions of themselves. Mm-hmm. That's what we care about most. This is why we bonded.
Yeah.
So what made you want to get into the field of health and wellness? Is it a natural thing? Did you see a void? Like, what? Walk us through that.
A little bit. So I guess I kind of fell into the realm of coaching, so to speak. But it's all, when I look back on my past, it's like everything served its purpose, right? So I've been a dancer my entire life. I've danced since the age of 3. I danced all throughout college and even professionally at one point, and then started teaching Zumba after college, which is so much fun. I did that for 9 years.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was working in business, and I had studied psychology in college. So for anyone who feels like they are trying to find their footing with what they want to do, just trust the process, right? Mm-hmm. I thought originally I wanted to be a doctor and prescribe medicine and be a psychiatrist and go to grad school and all that. And I just felt really overwhelmed at that time because there was a little voice inside of me saying medicine is not the only way.
Right.
But you know, we'll dive into this later in the episode, but I struggled with my mental health a lot mm-hmm. throughout pretty much my entire life. And so that was always like in the back burner, but I knew that I really wanted to help people. Mm-hmm. And dance for me was always a huge emotional outlet. And I don't think I ever realized until, you know, when I started teaching Zumba post-college, how much exercise really served me. Mm-hmm. So I was teaching Zumba while working a full-time job and, you know, doing that on the side, always loved it. It was very fulfilling. But, you know, people would say to me, oh, we see how much you love dancing. Like, why don't you teach full-time or open a studio? And that was so nice of people to say, you know, I took that as a huge compliment,
right.
But I saw how much it took out of me physically.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, I thought I ate healthy at the time. I didn't have a clue. This was, I started teaching in 2009. So this was really before health and wellness came into
the industry that it is now.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And just was more mainstream.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I ate relatively healthy, so to speak, but that was eating, you know, like a turkey sandwich on quote unquote wheat bread.
Right.
And, you know, I wasn't eating the way I eat now by any means.
Right.
So it was actually, there was a point in time where I was, I think 22, 23, trying to figure out what the hell I wanted to do because I knew that the job I had wasn't the be all end all for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to my mom and who knows if she even remembers this story, but her and I were just talking one day. She's always been a source of inspiration for me. And she's always been very fit and watches what she eats and takes care of herself. And, you know, I'm sure in this conversation, she was really trying to get me to move home because I was living in New York at the time, which I'm still in the area. Now I'm in Jersey City. We were talking about how nice it would be to someday open up a wellness, you know, studio or a fitness center. We weren't really sure. It was just like a really random conversation. Wouldn't it be cool if? And she was like, yeah, we can hire someone to do the nutrition and, you know, you can teach and you can whatever. But it was kind of that same response where people would always say to me, why don't you open up a place? And I was just like, I don't see myself exerting myself physically for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And that's when something just clicked. And I was like, you know what? Like, nutrition is so interesting to me. At that point, I don't think I ever really paid attention to how food made me feel. Mm-hmm. And so I started looking and just searching around on Google, on whatever the career sites were back in those days. I feel like it was like Monster and like Career Builder or whatever.
Ask
like
Jeeves.
Do they even exist anymore? I don't know. But
yeah.
I found a posting for the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, which is where I ended up going to school. And I saw a posting to work for them in marketing. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. Had no idea what it was. Looked into the program and decided it was one of those like aha moments. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've had so many of them where it was just like the floodgates opened and I was like, oh shit. Okay. This can marry my entrepreneurial mindset, you know, mm-hmm. the business background, because I think to be a coach, you absolutely have to have that established, whether you have it up front or you learn it along the way. It also married my love of fitness because that's part of wellness, right? And then my love for helping people and psychology. I was always fascinated by human behavior and why we do what we do.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, probably 10 minutes ago when you asked me this question.
No, it's good. It's good.
I always wanted to help people and thought at some point that I wanted to be a psychiatrist. So this was kind of marrying all of those.
Right.
And it just really clicked for me. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, this is no problem. You know, my dad's been an entrepreneur since I was born. And so I was lucky enough to have that role model in my life and see that it's possible to do things your own way.
Yeah.
Always been the girl who's like beat to the rhythm of my own drum. Mm-hmm.
Always, oh, I wonder. Yeah. I wonder how that is.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So long story short, I said to myself, even if I go through this program and I learn something for myself, because I think at the time when I was teaching like 8 classes a week, working full time. And I always felt a little depleted. Mm-hmm. As much as I loved those classes, I was like, you know, man, I don't get it. There's people out there doing this, teaching fitness full time.
Yeah.
And they're fine. And I'm exhausted all the time. So I learned a lot for myself going through that program and I changed my diet so much. But mm-hmm. I think what was amazing to me was that this program talked about wellness as a whole, because it's not just about what you eat.
Right.
It's about how you talk to yourself, you know, as you know so well. Like mm-hmm. I love, and you know, for everyone who's listening, I'm, you know, Devin and I are friends, yes,
yeah.
But I respect you so much for what you do. And I'm always like, fuck yeah, like hell yeah, I'm reposting your Instagram stories. And it's people need to hear the good stuff. More than I realize, I think people need someone to look up to and someone to tell them it's okay mm-hmm. to not be okay. It's good to have inspiration and it's good to have.
It's good. I mean, someone DM'd me the other day and said, oh my God, you're so in my head. And I was like, this is what we love as a society about things like memes, right?
Right.
For the first time ever, we're seeing other people have the same thought process as we do.
It's like, you get me.
You get me. And that's, as humans, we all want connection. Period. End of the day, that's what we want. That's why social networks do as well as they do, right? You want mm-hmm. to be connected with people. And I think, you know, I want to get into this later, but Instagram has been a great source for both of us in our businesses. And, you know, just with connecting with people around the world, I have international clients because of Instagram. So, you know, it becomes this place where you either look up to people and are inspired by people, or you're drained by it. That depends on you as a human, I think.
Right.
But I think that, you know, you're somebody who always is saying like, I love your stories so much. I love your whatever. And I'm like, it's really just my brain on the phone, right? Like, this is just exactly how I think. And this is the authenticity that I crave from other people. So I was looking, and this sort of leads me into my next question, but I was looking at the mental health and wellness industry and not seeing somebody who is really telling the full story. And I think that the inspirational people that we both love, right? The Rachel Hollises, the Mel Robbins, all these people who have done amazing things are so far on the other side of things that they have a tough time walking you through the actual process.
Right.
The transformation is the hard part, right? Getting through to the other side, even though you're probably working more, once you have that full mindset shift and you've gone through your transformational sort of space, you feel so much better that it's, you feel like you can then tell people what else to do.
Right.
At the same time, that process is hard. Yeah. It's long. Yeah.
It sucks. It fucking sucks.
It sucks. It's scary.
Excuse me.
It's
I know we can swear here. Oh, but you can swear.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Chip bombs and all that.
Yeah. We can totally swear. But, you know, it's for me, that's why I wanted to get into the industry and the way that I have approached it, which is let's get back to your authentic self. All we do is listen to people and listen to society and hear all these things that we should and shouldn't be doing. And really, you have all the answers within you. Let's pull them out of you.
Yeah.
So for me to be a presence on Instagram is much more about that than anything else, right? Just allowing people to know that you aren't alone. This is tough. I go through it daily, right?
Yeah. Like
I do not have my shit figured out in nearly the way that I think even sometimes it comes across, right? We're humans. We go through the struggle on a daily basis. I have great days in business. I have shitty days in business. I have great days with friends. I have shitty days with friends.
Totally.
I have great days dating. I have horrible days dating. Like, you know, it just is what it is. But for you, what do you feel like the health and wellness industry gets wrong? Because like I was just saying, for me, that was a big part of why I wanted to get into what I'm getting into, and you have the same authenticity about
your
accounts and everything, your social accounts, and I know your business practice in general, but just the way that you put things out there is not so contrived. What do you think just the health and wellness industry does either on social or just in general that kind of gets it wrong and that we hear so often?
Yeah. So many things are coming to mind. I think first of all,
you're like everything.
Well, no, that's not true. I think the more health and wellness, unfortunately, in my opinion, the more it's become mainstream, the more, and I think it's also just a byproduct of the society we live in where everything is instant gratification. I think people, and this will always be the case, you know, sorry, everyone, like there is no diet out there. Diet. I hate that word. First of all,
right.
Fucking hate that word. Diet actually means what you choose to eat. Right. But I think diet has such a negative connotation.
Yeah.
So it's very restrictive.
Right.
And that sounds shitty because for anyone who does know me, you know, I just told you like, yeah, I just came off a detox program for all of my clients and I go through it with you, which is amazing. But I had cookies and tequila last night, so I'm feeling a little like not my total self. But I support that because you have to be a real person.
Right.
So I think the industry right now is full of quick fixes. And I can't tell you how many people come to me and say, oh, my God, can you just tell me what to eat? Like, can you just write a meal plan without knowing anything about you and your
lifestyle,
your work ethic, how you learn, what your food sensitivities are, what your triggers are, like all these things. I look at all of these things. So I cannot tell you what to eat unless we sit down and have a conversation.
Right.
And I give complimentary consultations for that reason. I want to get to know you.
Right.
So quick fixes are one thing. I think the other thing, and I'm sure you can relate to this, living in New York in this area, fitness is obviously a part of wellness, right? Moving your body is essential, not just for your physical health, but your mental health.
Right.
And I think, and I wouldn't have really thought to say this until you asked me and it just came to me. I feel like we glorify fitness in this city, and I'm sure in other major cities.
Yeah.
You know, you look at and I'm not going to call anyone out because I love every fitness class that I've taken in New York. Right. I think we do something brilliantly. We have incredible talent, but I think it's very glamorous.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, you go to this class, you pay $40 for this class, and you're going to look like a supermodel as soon as you step out of there.
Right.
No, you got to put in the work, right? You got to put in the work. And I do think there are incredible teachers here that motivate you to do that, which is why I love group fitness. And I think to your point, like, not enough people talk about the journey, right? Mm-hmm. It's a process,
right?
Especially
we
if
see
you're
before
starting,
and after pictures, and we don't know what they went through during the time.
Right.
And
there's such a, so we're missing the personal story.
Yeah.
Which it's hard, like looking at it through a marketing lens, which I have that background. It's like, some people don't want to go that deep because some people can't handle that. And some people would reject that.
Right.
So it's a balance to me. It's like, we're missing the full picture.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
So we can get into kind of an Instagram conversation now, I think, because
I'm ready.
So Jamie and I were at dinner. We're friends in life.
Yes, we are.
So we were at dinner the other night with a bunch of other friends, and a social media conversation came up. And Jamie's much better about holding her tongue than I am, but I kind of went off the rails a little bit in that I just don't believe that we as human beings have as little control over social media as we present to the world.
Right.
So one of our friends was basically saying she was taking a mental health break from social media, which, okay, fine. I understand. You want to be on your phone less, you want to do the whole thing, fine. Mm-hmm. Then it got into social media is as bad for you as smoking cigarettes. And we're going to look back in 20 years and it's going to be like smoking and all these things. And we're not going to know how bad it is. And I do believe that there are people who are triggered on social media by certain things for
Couldn't agree more.
But my point in all of it is that we control just as much of what we put out as we follow. And we don't have to be following the people that make us feel like shit. But on a deeper level, if just looking at a photo of somebody makes you feel like shit about yourself, there's a lot more work that needs to be done. And we can't blame Instagram for that.
Correct.
Right? And just from again, I think that we do a really good job of blaming external circumstances and all the externalities. And I talk about this very often with clients on social media, in whatever forum I'm in. But we cannot control the world around us. But we can control how we react to it, how we live in it, how we speak to our...
Yeah, you said a lot right there.
Right? Like, it's just, it's such an internal job. So if you... If there are people listening to this, which I know that there are, who have a tough time on social media with exactly that, what do you think, like, what advice do you, would you give to somebody like our friend who was at dinner the other night, who was talking about how bad this all is for your mental health, and, you know, you being someone who has a psychology background, you being someone who has a you know, wellness and nutrition background, like, what do you think that people need to really be focused on instead of, I hate myself because I'm looking at someone who's really fit and beautiful and all these things?
Yeah.
I mean, loaded question.
No, loaded question. And it's twofold because I know you started, we started talking about your choice. Social media is your choice.
Right.
Do you have to be on there?
Right.
No, you don't.
Right.
People choose to participate because it's a way of connecting,
right?
And I think for you and I, we have a different lens where we're looking at it as a way to connect with an audience and to share our message.
Right.
But I think for people who are seeing it as something that can have a negative effect on their mental health, first of all, you totally have a choice over who you follow, right? So I started noticing, and I think I agree. I have gotten to the point in my life where, like you, I can look at people that I admire and respect and see that as motivating instead of crippling.
And just an appreciation factor, right? Like, I don't have to – I'm not comparing myself to every human I see on the internet.
Right, right.
That seems like a lot.
Right.
Right? But there are people who are, I feel like, are not mentally there, and that's where – it comes from.
Yes. And I have to say, to just relate to anyone who's feeling this way, like, I wouldn't necessarily look at celebrities and think like, oh my God, I'm less than, because to your point, like, right, they work their fucking ass off for right, it. Well deserved. Right. I will never, or I shouldn't say never, but like, I don't anticipate myself going on that fast track.
Right.
But I would find myself getting really caught up. Like, my 20s was just a roller coaster of emotion with my mental health. Yeah. And it was my own inner critic, because people would look at me and say, Jamie, you know, you, whatever, like, you're a beautiful girl, you're smart, like, you can, you know, you have an idea and you go after it and you do it and we admire you. Or like, you come from a good family, you went to college, you have a good job, you have all these things, why aren't you happy? And I was just like, thanks for saying that, you're making me feel worse.
Yeah.
I think what I was doing is comparing myself to my peers. And my peers, and I'm sure you can relate to this one, have had a completely different path and track to their careers and their lives. Like, there were points where I would see people I went to high school and college with, like, going off and having these wonderful jobs and being able to travel and buying houses, like, early 20s. And I was just like, I'm still trying to figure my life out, man. Like, I don't know what the hell I want to do with myself.
Right.
So when you see people like that, that trigger for you on social media, you have a choice whether you follow them or not.
Yeah.
If they are triggering to you, unfollow them and don't feel bad about it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Follow people who are going to inspire you and motivate you to be better.
Yeah.
And if you need to have a moment with yourself, if you, first of all, if you find yourself scrolling through social media the majority of the day,
right,
there is something more productive that you can do with your time.
Right.
I
have almost all my accounts on mute.
I
don't consume almost any
notifications. No, thank you.
Yeah, no. And but even like, even people's posts and stories, like, I have a very select group of people. Probably, I mean, I follow probably 700 people. I probably see 60 people's content.
Yeah.
The mute feature is a great feature because you don't have to necessarily consume their content.
Yes.
You just are still following. And again, whatever your give a shit meter is, it is. But I do think people are sensitive to it. And that's the only reason I say that. But I think that especially being a creative and someone who's constantly putting things out there, it is very hard for me to consume so much other content and still stay original and still stay in my own head.
Totally.
So, you know, for that purpose also. But like you were saying, there's so many other things to do than scroll through social media.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but 90% of my feed is like motivational shit.
Same.
Like, I do not follow anybody that I don't think is putting good energy out there, not because of any other reason than I just don't need that to be filled. It's the same reason I don't sit down and first thing I do in the morning is turn on the news, right?
Oh, God.
It's the same thing.
That's another story.
It's a whole nother thing. But it's the same mental impact to me, where I am like, okay, I can either sit here and look at all of the craziness that people are posting, or I cannot follow the crazy people who are posting and not consume that and have that in my brain. Because as we know, your brain literally doesn't know the difference between what is told to you and what is actually reality.
Yep.
So if you are constantly consuming all of the negativity, all of the things, and then not only consuming it, but thinking to yourself afterwards, I feel so badly about myself now.
Yes.
That's what your brain hears.
Correct.
And the more that you
What's wrong with me?
Exactly.
Right?
And the more that you do that, the more it becomes magnified just in your own life and in your own brain.
Yeah.
And I think you hit on a major point, which is you, to the outside world, had everything together. You came from a good family. You went to a good college. You were, you know, a great dancer. You're a pretty girl. Like, all of these things that people see and admire.
Right.
And on the inside, you didn't feel that way.
Right. So I would hear that and think, well, why can't
why
I
don't, why aren't
that?
I happy?
What's wrong with me? Like, am I not grateful for my life? Am I not, you know, all these things. I mean,
Yeah. But also, I mean, and we can roll into this next conversation too, because I've, as you know, I mean, we've had extensive conversations about mental health in general, but I very much went through a period of time in my life where kind of almost had an identity crisis, to be honest. I mean, like, yeah. I went from being this person in high school who was a total yes person, oldest of four kids, always wanted to help my mom out and my family and everybody, and did everything for everyone else, and then went to college and was completely in isolation by myself, had like, didn't know anybody, didn't know whatever, and was like, who the fuck am I? Like, really just fully, who am I?
I've had so many of those conversations with myself. And then if you're asking yourself a shitty question, I mean, that's not a shitty question. Who am I is a great question to
ask. Right.
But like,
but when you don't know who you are, it scares the shit out of you.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what sent me into a depressive time in my life.
Yeah.
The good thing in all of that was that obviously when you go through difficult times and you choose to approach the aftermath in a way that's productive and constructive and positive, you can make great changes in your life. And I feel like the last, 8 years of my life have been much, much, much better and much more productive and much more myself. But it takes a long time to sort of rework that in your brain. How did you deal with just sort of those either depressive moments or that time in your life? What were the changes that you made? How did you, first of all, how did you identify it? Because like you just said, the gratitude, I had a lot of guilt in feeling like my parents have sent me to this great school. I have a great family at home. I am, a social person. I already have a business, all these things. What is missing? Like what could I possibly be doing more of or less of? And I didn't have the tools at the time, but I was really quick to be like, I need to be in therapy.
Therapy is a whole nother thing. I think there's so many things coming to my
mind.
When
did you first identify that you were not happy in your situation or in your life?
There's so many moments. And not that I wasn't happy. It's more like I wasn't comfortable and I was unsure of myself, which shakes your confidence, right? That showed up for me as a very young girl. I was always super shy. And I was the first of three girls, so I feel like I was the one paving the way. And, God bless my mother because I love her, but we drive each other crazy. And I see how hyper she is, and I'm sure that being the firstborn had an effect on my confidence and my ability to want to do things and be okay with my decisions. Right. Cause my mom was always, picking up our slack and doing things again, if we tried to help, and that's no fault of her. Like, my mom is a wonderful person and she took great care of us. But the more I like self-reflect on myself, I'm like, oh my God, I was always so shy. I used to fake sick, not wanting to go to parties.
Yeah.
I remember waking up in first grade being like, I don't want to go to picture day. And I faked sick because I didn't I don't even remember, what do you remember back then?
Well, some of those memories are profound, and that's what, and this is what everyone says, right? But it's true. Hindsight's 20/20.
Right.
When I now look back to my middle school, elementary school, high school person, there were a lot of signs that would have added up and contributed to my then sort of depression.
Yeah.
Right. So but again, maybe like you, maybe not as much. I was very good at putting on a happy face always.
Same.
Beyond.
Oh yeah.
Nothing's wrong. Everything's good. Feelings of, and I had, I have food allergies and I had them from when I was very young.
Yeah.
Tons of anxiety, all kept inside. So dealing with all of that kind of stuff on your own, I think is both beneficial and also detrimental, right?
Yes.
Like, you learn how to handle things by yourself at a very young age. But I always was somebody who was like, yep, got it under control. I'm good. Don't even worry about it, whatever.
Yeah.
And sometimes I catch myself even now as an adult doing things like that. And I'm like, slow it down. Tell this person who's asking you how you are, how you actually are.
Yeah. If you need to ask for help, you ask for help.
Right. And just you don't need to sugarcoat everything. And this is why I think I'm probably so far the other extreme on a lot of levels now, because it wasn't helpful. It's not helpful to be the person who sits with a smile on your face all the time when you're not feeling like smiling,
it's
a tough, and that's a tough thing to overcome. But like you were just saying, I think that there were a lot of signs looking back on it that I was like, okay,
Yeah.
My mental health should probably have been a bigger priority to me at a younger age than it was.
But I think no one gives you the manual for that. You don't learn about that in school, which is one of my, like with everything I've learned now, I'm like, we need to get better at how we talk about how you approach life after high school, after college, after whatever, as a teenager, as a girl going through puberty, like how do you handle your emotions, right? Nobody teaches you that. And I think I was thinking as you were saying what you were saying and me relating to that, I think a lot of what I turned to as a young girl in my teens when like, I mean, you're comparing yourself to everyone, right?
Right.
I was always very creative. I did a lot of writing. I wrote poetry when I was little. I wrote books. I danced. I like got it out and got back into my head instead of comparing myself to other people. But I even think, you know, my first anxiety and like panic attack and like period of insomnia, which would repeat itself throughout my 20s, was I was actually in Spain. I was studying abroad in Spain for 6 weeks over the summer before my senior year. And I was always someone looking back that like always had structure, right? I always went to school as a young girl, came home, had my snacks, had dinner or whatever, and like went to dance, came home, did my homework, repeat. After that, I went to college and had some of the same structure. And then thinking about, I don't think I ever thought about what was going to come next after college. I didn't worry about it, right? We party our ass off. We have fun. We go out with friends. We blur the lines. We study and we pass our test and like whatever. And so when I was in Spain, I had my first anxiety attack ever. And I remember leaning on some of the friends that I had made who I didn't know in the beginning of the 6 weeks, but have now become some of my great friends. And thinking, oh my God, like they're all talking about, what's going to happen after we graduate? And they're all lining up their plans. And I'm like, shit, like I have no idea.
What triggered your anxiety attack.
Yes. Like what comes next? Because looking at all these people around me, they know I'm supposed to know.
Right.
And that's a problem that I don't.
Right.
So, I mean, that was my first of my really dark periods. And I actually graduated a semester early and my friends are all like, who does that? I'm just like, you know, whatever. Also a big part of my life at the time was a really toxic relationship.
Yeah.
And talk about like not feeling good about yourself. This was just like a series of infidelity and shaking my confidence and me not trusting my intuition and a lot of things that happened. And then that totally affected how I looked at myself and how I felt about myself. And you know, I graduated early thinking we were going to go live our lives together at, you know, 22. And that was the be all end all. And he was going to change. And
by the way,
when I was
in my full blown depression, I was in a really bad relationship too.
Yeah.
And one that I couldn't get out of because I felt badly for the other person. Mm-hmm. And it was very mentally, I mean, I don't think that you realize again until you're out of it, how much somebody controls the narrative that you tell yourself when you're in it.
Right.
Because I was very much same thing. We went to separate colleges. Mm-hmm. He was always kind of like this misfit kind of guy, but went to separate colleges. He ended up cheating on me. I'm like the most loyal human on the planet.
Same.
I'd never do that in my life.
Never.
I was literally like, and I wasn't Shattered. Even, no, I wasn't even because there was something in me that was always kind of looking for an excuse to get out. There was just a lot that was going on. But eventually, and this is where I think like intuition, right? When you let your gut and your intuition really guide you, you make the right decisions. But it's hard to get yourself to trust your own decision making when someone's been in, like not, you know, faithful to you and all those things. Because you think, how could I have not seen this? How could I have not?
Right.
You go through a total
like bashing yourself.
Yeah. And you're so very like unsure of, well, if I can't make this decision, right. I felt the same way about college, right? Mm-hmm. I was so unsure about going to college. And then when I decided on a place that I had gone to, I had seen, I had whatever, and I thought that that was the right decision for myself. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't, total mind fuck, total like how can I make any other decisions? Right. My first decision as an adult was fucking wrong.
Yes. And I think that's part of the problem, right? Yeah. We think our decisions are so final.
Right.
And I remember it being in like the heat of my first depressive episode after graduating college, sitting on the floor of my parents' house. And thank God for my dad for employing me after college, because I remember trying to study for grad school entry test and just throwing my books at the wall and being like, I can't do this right now.
Yeah.
And he was like, Jame, God bless him. He's like, I don't care what you do. You know, you just have to do something. Mm-hmm. Just make a choice. You could be a bus driver. You could go, you know, work at Wegmans again. You could bartend. You could go out and get a banging job. You could move. You could do all these things.
Right.
But then you can change your mind.
Yeah.
And I think, like, you and I sound like we always would make choices and at that point in our lives and feel like this is the next step and this needs to be final.
I think it just speaks to a very oldest child mentality to think your decisions are either like so fatal or they're going to be the best things in your life.
Right. And it's like you've got to have it all figured out.
Right. And you can switch it up at any point in time. Yeah.
I am like, I'm so introspective sometimes to a fault.
Same.
So I think when I get in these mental health challenges of my own, I go really deep, like off the deep end.
Yeah.
And then I seclude myself and I don't talk to anyone. And I'm psychoanalyzing myself, right?
Yeah.
And I think there's, you brought it up more than once in more than one different way. Like when you're feeling that way, you or I never would reach out and ask for help. I would never talk about it, right? I kept to myself. I'm fine. Don't worry about me. But I think the older that I've gotten and the more that it's happened to me and when it happens to me, I'm like, if we were having this conversation 4 years ago, I would tell you that I was a victim of my depression. I was a victim of my anxiety.
Yeah.
And it always was happening to me, right? Instead of now, I can look at those moments and say, what did I learn? How did I grow? Mm-hmm. Right? And even recently, like, and you know, my situation that I've had going on in my personal life and whatever, let's just tell everyone, I've been living with my in-laws for the past 14 months. With my husband, we've been married for 3 years. We're saving up money to very soon buy our first home in the greater New York City area, which is pricey and competitive. And it's been, that's been a whole journey. You know, so very recently I was very stressed and went through a dark, 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 dark depression.
Yeah.
And you don't know sometimes how you're going to get out of it or if it's going to repeat itself or when it's going to get better. But the past couple times it's happened, I've said to myself, which is very like, whoa, like spirit, God, whoever it is that's talking to me.
Yeah.
Jame, you're going to be okay. You are going to learn tools that you can help yourself with and then help your clients with, right? Because, you know, if anyone out there is listening, any entrepreneurs, anyone who's trying to figure themselves out, and you think, I can't help others until I can help myself, it's not always true, right? We're always learning. We're always, and as we evolve and grow and search for the next thing, shit's going to get a little tough, right? It's a learning curve because you're doing something different. You're moving out of your comfort zone. And that's always scary and terrifying. And it comes with a lot of change. But I would have those voices, my intuition telling me that, like, you're going to get through this. You're going to learn from this. You're going to be able to show other people how to get to the other side.
Yeah.
And that was something I didn't hear, you know, in my 20s.
Right.
But more recently, yes.
But so you just also hit a major nail on the head in saying, basically, well, first of all, I totally relate to the psychoanalyzing, the overthinking. I actually think that people who are depressed and anxious are those overthinkers because all I'm thinking the entire time is, well, what if this happens and it's bad, right?
Oh, yeah.
So with my clients, I work a lot on the mindset shift to obsess, overthink, overanalyze, but do that with the positive things.
Right, productive.
And not with the negative things. Yeah. So overthink what it would be like if everything went perfectly.
Right.
Right. Overthink what it would be like if that guy does call you back. Overthink what it would be like if you do lose that 5 pounds that you've been working right. so hard on. Right. Because it's such a mindset shift. And I actually think that just from a genetics perspective and the way that I'm built, that is who I am. So, mm-hmm. so I don't know that I can ever stop with that.
No.
I just think that it's about shifting the mindset and the narrative again yes. to, okay, let me overthink the positive things. Let yeah. me overthink the right things. Yeah. Let me get into my affirmations and my gratitude lists and all of those things
yeah.
instead of let me think of all the bad things that can happen.
Yeah. And I'd find when I would fall into a depression, there's that quote out there. I don't know exactly how it's said, but you know, when you're depressed, you're thinking about the past.
Yeah.
When you're anxious, you're thinking about the future.
Right.
And when you are feeling good, you're present in the moment. And, you know, you have to hear things like 10 times until it just beats you on the head. And you're like, oh, I get it now.
Right.
And yeah, when I fall into depression, and this was what was coming up throughout my 20s, it's like you think about everything you can do differently. You know, mm-hmm. you think about that shitty relationship and, well, what if I had broken up with him sooner?
Right.
Or what
right.
if I had done this? We wouldn't be sitting
back.
Here talking
because right. exactly.
that relationship brought me here,
right.
which I'm very grateful for that.
Right.
But you think, I would think all the time, like, well, what if I had gone to grad school? What if I had moved to a different city? What if I had done this? What if, what if, what if? And like, you can't fucking change the past. You can't change the what ifs,
right.
but you can change the what next.
Yeah.
So.
And my thing too, like when you were talking about, well, A, thinking about the past and just be like what you fear about falling back into that depression, because there have been times where I'm speaking to my mother or life coach or whoever I'm, you know, confiding in.
Yeah.
And thinking about what decision comes next for me.
Yeah.
And my greatest fear in a lot of my day to day is what if that brings me back to the place that I was in 7 years ago,
mm-hmm.
because I've done all this work and I've done whatever, but mental health creeps up on you all the time. But like it really has, and I've either allowed it to prevent me from doing things or say, fuck it. You've been through it once. And the more times that you go through something, the more capable you realize you are of going through it. Exactly what you said, the tools that you develop.
Yeah.
And for me, when you're talking about being a work in progress, like that is the full picture that we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, yeah, it's really interesting. And it's great advice to not feel like you have to have it all figured out before you make that next move, especially in a profession.
I love you all, but you never will have it all figured out,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
If we are at that state of perfection, then we're not growing.
Right, right. And it's again, like what I have seen in the industries that we're in, where I feel like they kind of do things wrong, is mm-hmm. where they present themselves as these really perfect packaged
yes.
people who
yes.
have already been through their shit and they don't have any more shit to go through.
Yeah.
So for me, it's not about the get rich quick and the do all of these things, whatever. My journey and my process has been much more important than really the results of anything. And now it's great that I have those things, and same with you,
yeah.
that we can help other people with. So yeah. Great, yeah. great piece of advice.
Something too that just, I love talking to you because we could talk for probably days because you're always inspiring something, a thought, whatever. So two things came to mind. One, and I remember seeing this at the start of the new year, which is usually when I think I go through my episodes of challenging mental health at two specific times I've noticed looking back. One, it's the back to school time, right? Because
mm-hmm.
it's always like, this should I have gone back to grad school kind of thing. Everyone's getting their shit together after the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after the holidays, when it's dark, and I do think that, like dark outside.
Yeah. Hey. when the world is
when I probably feel dark because I've mm-hmm. been eating way too much sugar and cookies and all that
yep.
shit. And, you know, it's time for the new year and it's ready to like shed the layers and am I going to make the changes this year?
Right.
And I, 1 year, I think it was 2 years ago, I came across a very simple quote, and I wasn't planning to bring up all these quotes, but,
I love it.
You know, here I am.
I love it.
You have two choices. And I was thinking about this as you were talking about your past relationship,
mm-hmm.
evolve or repeat.
Right.
Right. So I can choose to change
mm-hmm.
in whatever way you know, listen to your intuition, to your point, like listen to your guidance, let that navigate you. It won't steer you wrong, but you have to embrace it and be willing to move through the change and learn the lesson, or you're going to repeat until that lesson like hits you like a pound of fucking bricks.
Right.
You're like, oh, I get it now.
Right.
Okay. I have to step away from that relationship to better myself. Right.
Or to make room for what else is coming. I mean, there's so many things that we get stuck in those patterns of just doing the same. And it's like, you don't realize that if you just stopped doing that, how many more amazing things would come your way.
Right.
But you physically, you know, and mentally block so many different opportunities from coming into your life when you are in that stuck state of just repetition and not learning the lessons. And also,
or ignoring the lessons.
Ignoring, but I feel like, you know, it's very hard to tell people this. But you and I had a conversation a while ago where we were talking just business things. And I apply this to my own life in a lot of ways because change is so uncomfortable and that evolution is difficult and it's not pretty and it's really hard and you feel the difficult, you know, moments of it in a real, real way.
Yeah.
But so you were saying to me, I'm doing all these things in my business, whatever. And I said to you, whatever you are thinking about, do it 10 times that.
Oh, and that conversation sits in my head.
Because it's the only way that I can get myself through things is because if I don't go balls to the wall on something, I'm not going to do it. If you have one toe dipped in the pond, you're never going to dive in.
Right.
And for me, it's like, okay, everybody has these amazing ideas. Everybody has these next steps that they want to take and they're afraid to just do it. And that's when I think just you have to literally, whatever you're thinking in your head, think of how you can blow it up and then do that.
Yeah.
Because it's the only way that you'll really push yourself out of that box of safety, of being comfortable, of, you know, and I don't like to promote myself. Like I have a really tough time promoting my something that comes so naturally to me, right? So like my coaching and my, all the business stuff that I do, as much as I love to be on social media, like I love to be on social media to inspire other people, not necessarily to say, hey, look at me, you should hire me. When I feel like I am in that space, I promote myself 10 times what I normally would, you know, because it just is, even if you have to just do it for a short period of time, gets you to that next place of breakthrough of, you know, I don't feel so stuck in this repetitive state. Like you have to get yourself out of it by almost doing something that shocks your system.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's so funny that you brought that up because I have had that little mini, like,
It was like three DMs.
Thank you, Instagram. I've had that little mini conversation playing in my head every time I think, how can I, you know, I say I want to make my business bigger and grow it and do it full time. Like, yeah, I'm juggling a corporate job right now, which is not the dream, but sometimes you've got to like balance it both until you get to a place where you realistically can take a leap. And and I look at you and admire you and like respect you so much for having done what you've been doing on your own and building and paving your way for so long, because I'm still teetering on the edge of, ooh, it's going to be really uncomfortable. Am I going to be okay? Right. But I think I had to go through certain life experiences and, and get confidence under my belt and think about what I really wanted. And you saying, just like do it bigger. And my husband, who's also like a huge help for my mental stability.
He's awesome.
He's a sweetie. He's a very positive person, but he's had to go through his shit too. And he went through that stage of growth before me. So it was nice to have him being like, I'm on the other side. You're going to be okay. But you know, sometimes when your closest people around you give you advice, it's like, I hear you, but shut up.
Right.
Because it's not clicking.
Right.
And you have to,
and also you're so in it.
So
how can
times.
You, po- yeah. Like right. I, and the reason why I have so loved having a life coach of my own is because it's a completely outside perspective.
Unbiased.
She doesn't know all the players. She doesn't know the situation. She's not in it with me. She's literally just telling me her outside perspective, looking in. And for me, that's what's most helpful. Because for me, and by the way, I actually am the type of person who wants to be told when I'm fucking up and wants to be told when I'm being an asshole. And and when I reiterate a situation and say, am I wrong? I want someone to really tell me you're wrong. And a lot of times the people who love you either don't feel comfortable doing that or, you know, your friends or family don't want to upset you, whatever it may be. That's why I think that having coaches in anything, whether it be health and wellness or just sort of mental health, like anything is important because there's obviously that guidance piece, but the real, you know, amazing quality that they have is that they are not your friends and family who you rely on for a lot of that sort of yay, rah, rah, and all of the, you know, just either really good news or really bad news. You know, like I feel like as much as we love our family and friends and we have sort of just these coasting moments with them, the people who you're closest with, it's usually the people who you're going through really bad times with or really good times with.
Right.
There's not a lot of in between.
They know all the shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Interesting. Okay. I have a couple questions from Instagram for you.
Okay.
This can kind of be like a little rapid fiery and then we can. Okay. Can you walk us through your morning routine? We need specifics. My girls love a morning routine.
All right. Yeah. So my morning routine looks a little differently every day, but I think the first thing I do is I do not snooze. My alarm goes off. Typically, I'm up before my alarm because my internal alarm is just crazy, right? Turn my alarm off, get up, get a glass of – lately, I've been feeling lime water, but lemon water, right? It's going to balance you, balance your pH, allow you to literally get the shit out.
Yeah.
I like to sit and have a moment with myself because for me in the period of my life I'm in right now, my morning routine's a little hard because I'm commuting.
Right.
And I have a long commute, but I've learned how to make that commute effective. Mm-hmm. So for any of my girls out there,
a lot of them
who have a commute,
who are listening to this on their commute.
Hello. you know, you choose how you can make that time effective.
Yeah.
And so anyways, before I get on the train, I have my water. I have a little time with myself. I do meditate on the train. Mm-hmm. So my morning routine before I get out the door is typically putting together my breakfast and lunch, which I am a huge advocate, obviously, of nutrition and just fueling myself and knowing that that's going to be a constant for me. So I take care of that. Making it for my husband as well. He just gets like half of whatever I make, poor Nick. But, you know, I love to listen to music in the morning. It jazzes me up. You know, I try to move my body either 15 to 20 minutes is all you need, right?
Yeah.
Just move around. You'll feel better. Stretch if you need to stretch. Get myself together, get dressed, get out the door, get on the train. And I do one of three things. So I meditate every morning. It really helps me. Headspace is great.
Yep.
Got to clear your head, right? So that you can be less reactive to all the things that are going to come up throughout the day.
Right.
But that is my alone time. That is my quiet time. I think we all need that before we go and consume.
Yeah.
But let me not lie. I mean, sometimes the first thing I do when I have a lot going on is check my email and check Instagram. And that's not something I recommend everyone doing every day. It depends on what's going on.
Right.
I feel so much better
but
when
that's
I
real.
Don't.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so real.
Right.
I feel so much better when I don't have to have that thing glued to my fucking hand, but sometimes it happens.
Right.
So when I'm on the train and I'm commuting, I do one of three things after I meditate. I listen to a podcast, which I think you can choose what you want to listen to, right? You can choose what you want to consume. So I listen to a lot of people that really inspire me. You being one of them, girl. Marie Forleo, love her. Rachel Hollis, love her. I like to do things that are a little easy on my mind. Like I don't necessarily go into like science-y, techie, whatever, like deep shit.
No.
I need to just be. Sometimes I sit in silence and do nothing if that's what I need.
Right.
Or read or listen to music because music really helps me creatively. Just
same. I listen to music all day long.
All day long.
Every one of our friends, when we go out and we're like at a club or whatever, and I'm singing lyrics to every single song, they're like, when do you even have time to listen to music? I'm like, music runs my world.
Yeah.
Fully runs my world.
People get confused on how I can listen to music and do work. How can runs you my sit world. In silence?
Same. It runs my world.
So yeah, that's my morning routine.
Yeah, and listen to your body, right? Like you said, there are a couple things that
yes.
you can sort of take or leave, or yes. you feel better about doing one thing versus the other.
Yeah.
Okay, quick and easy tips to stay healthy on the go. Like what are your like top two or three?
Because
again, lots of busy ladies out there.
Okay, stay healthy on the go. I think number one, as we reach for our water, is keep hydrated. So I would... As a general rule of thumb, if you're already drinking water and you want to be hydrated and feel good, right? Because sometimes when we're thirsty, our body mistakes that for hunger. So yep. we go to reach for the sugar and the carbs and whatever. Drink your water. Aim to drink, if you can, your full body weight in ounces. So for example, if you weigh 120 pounds, you want to drink 120 ounces of water every day. That's always like my biggest go-to.
Yeah.
Take a look at your day or take a look at your week. So if I'm going grocery shopping or if I'm grabbing something on the go, it's like, all right, let's take like tomorrow, for example. Okay. You wake up, it's a work day. If you don't have something ready to grab and go for breakfast, okay, think about if you're not sitting and eating breakfast with your company or a client or whatever, you have control over what you are eating.
Right.
So I love to start my morning with protein. It's going to balance your blood sugar. It's going to help you stay satiated. It's going to help, you know, your cells just feel alive and fill you up. So opt for the protein.
Is that like a shake or is that like actual physical meat or?
I am such a person that's like, do whatever's easiest for you. So sometimes it's a protein shake for me.
Okay.
Sometimes it's eggs in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's animal protein if that works for you.
Right.
But yeah, like do what works for you. Yes, it is meat.
Animal protein, yeah. Yes,
animal protein.
That's very nice way of putting it.
Well, you know, I've got to be politically correct with my nutrition.
That's the nutritionist. What would you recommend someone just pick up, like if they have 5 seconds and $5?
Okay. Get yourself the easiest things to grab on the go. That aren't processed or packaged are fruit, right? Mm-hmm. Or nuts, right? Mm-hmm. So like some almonds, some cashews, pecans, like whatever you like. Mm-hmm. Walnuts are really great for your brain and really great for your overall health, as mm-hmm. they all are. Again, it's going to give you some healthy fats and the protein, which is going to help keep you full and satiated. Fruit is really great. You know, if you're on the go and you're in a place where you can get like a protein shake or something, that's really awesome.
Right.
The bars out there, it's like there's good ones and there's bad ones. Yeah. Always watch your sugar content. If you're eating something that comes in a package, 4 grams of sugar is the equivalent of 1 teaspoon. And I think we want
everyone
to really
soak that in.
Our sugar. Yeah. So if you look at like, you know, a bar, I'm trying to think of like something out there. I don't know, a Quest bar, whatever. Quest bars are actually pretty low in sugar. They're not like the worst thing to me. I think a really good bar, if you can find it, that I love is the Bulletproof bars. So they are very low in sugar. They're high in protein and healthy fat. They're very minimal ingredients, right? Mm-hmm. Minimal processed crap. Because some of the bars out there are the equivalent of eating like a Snickers bar in the morning.
Yeah, seriously. No, it's yucky.
Yeah. So a few grab and goes.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Good tips. What supplements do you take or recommend?
I don't recommend until I have a conversation with you and get to know what's going on.
Okay.
I think as the first rule of thumb is always, know your levels when you're looking at your blood work, because I think people over supplement and they don't necessarily need it. But if you take a look at your blood work and you're like, all right, I'm really low in iron, you're going to have to supplement with iron or start eating, you know, black beans, spinach, and red meat. So know your levels, because I think supplementation is very, it's very individualized, if that's a word.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very like specific to you. But I do B12 because mm-hmm. I have
obsessed.
A hard time processing B12. Mm-hmm. So I supplement with it. I do fish oils every day mm-hmm. because we are not eating enough of the good omega-3s, which reduce inflammation.
Yeah.
And then in the winter, and this is going to be really like applicable to the mental health conversation, you want to supplement with vitamin D because we are not getting enough sunlight. And even in the summertime, if you're sitting inside all day, you're not getting enough sunlight. Right. Your body needs vitamin D. Your brain needs vitamin D. It's hard to get it from natural like food sources. So supplementation is often necessary. So that's one I would really recommend to just about everyone, as well as the fish oils, actually, unless you're eating like salmon and sardines every day, which no one is.
Yeah. Well, I see a couple people on Instagram. I'm like, whoop.
Curation.
Like sardines out of the can for lunch. Okay. No, thank you. All right. I mean, I think that that's it. Do you have any final thoughts, words, piece of advice?
Nothing's ever final, is it?
I know.
If you're listening to this and you're relating to it, I think just you and I being able to talk about it together, it's like you're realizing, wait, okay, I'm not the only one. They're not the only one. We are not alone. I think more people in regards to mental health need to start talking about it. And something that came up when we were talking about Instagram, and even after like all the conversations we've had since that conversation, is share your story. Mm-hmm. You never know who's going to relate to what you're going through.
Yeah.
And I think the more we talk about things and talk through things with people who are going to encourage us and challenge us to be better, it's going to help. Find those creative outlets that make you feel good. Obviously, dance has always been that for me. Mm-hmm. We're all a work in progress. I think that was like my biggest takeaway of the thousands that I have from this conversation. We are all a work in progress.
Yeah.
So just keep on putting one foot in front of the other, even when it feels unclear and uncertain. I think that's where you're going to notice the magic and the change happen.
Agreed. Pimp yourself out. Where can we find you? Where can people learn to work with you? Instagram handles, everything.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to direct you to my Instagram only at the moment because I'm going through a rebrand with my site. Mm-hmm. But stay tuned and you know, we'll talk about that at another time. But you can find me on Instagram at JamieFWD. So that's J-A-M as in Mary, I-E as in elephant, F-W-D. Come say hello, DM me, like my stuff, comment. Let's have conversation. I just want to connect with people. And I think that's the thing, you know, just to tie back the whole Instagram conversation we had at dinner, which you're right, I did bite my tongue because everything you're saying,
I texted her
like,
the next
it,
day. I'm like, Jamie.
Actually, I think I was the only one who took a picture at dinner. And I was like, what did I say? Like our antisocial media girls dinner.
Yeah.
And the only people who responded and laughed were the people who were in favor of using social media. And I think you and I have learned to use it as an outlet for sharing.
Yeah. And as a tool for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will just say all of your content's great. You're one of the very few people whose content I actually consume.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Just your comments on, you know, your posts and everything, really good. And you're very consistent. So follow.
Girl, that took a long time to get to that point.
Yeah, it does. It takes a minute.
Thank you so much.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's really good. All right. This has been great. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much.
I'm so happy. This is perfect.
This is great.
Okay. Bye, guys. Tune in next week and we will talk to you soon. Love you, mean it.
Bye.
Hey everyone, Devin here. I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I did. I wanted to tell you about a service that I launched this week called Text Therapy. It's exactly what it sounds like. You book an appointment and have a full hour of access to me for advice, coaching, or even just a little pep talk. The best part? You never have to actually pick up the phone to call. We have a full session via text. This service is perfect for all of my real girls who are busy. Believe me, I get it. And who want on-the-go coaching. It's perfect for when you're waiting at the doctor's office, when you're about to go for a job interview or date, or just when you're feeling like you need to get back on track.
Because I love you listeners so much, for a limited time, I'm giving you 10% off all text therapy sessions. That means you get an hour with me for under $68. Go to www.devinpenny.com, book a session, and enter the code RTGT for your discount. Can't wait to chat with you one-on-one.